I invite you to take your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Last week I tried to explain why we're going here into Joshua on Sunday nights, and I guess the short version is we're kind of switching our Sunday school progression and where we were in Acts. You know, we finished with Acts on Sunday night. We left Paul in prison. And I think the logical place to go would be to the prison epistles that Paul was writing there while he was in prison, where Acts leaves us. And we're also coming to a transition in our adult Sunday school. We've gone through the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible, and it does continue on, and it continues on into Joshua. It's a one big story, one narrative, and it goes into Joshua, but I felt like it would be good for us maybe to do a little switch, and so we're moving down the Joshua Old Testament series here into Sunday night, and Lord willing, when we finish up in our adult class, Deuteronomy, we'll head into Paul's prison epistles. There in our Sunday morning time. And I think the epistles are great to be in, especially for a church. You know, Paul was writing those letters to churches, and it's always good for a church to be hearing what God has to say about churches. And that's what we find in the epistles, especially those prison epistles written to bodies of believers, and that's important. Too. But here we are in Joshua. We started last week with some of the passages that come before Joshua, and we looked at, most of our time was spent, who was Joshua? And we surveyed a number of different passages that showed us who he was, starting with Exodus 17, introduces him to us, but we realized that where was Joshua up to that point? Well, he was nearly 40 years old at that point when Moses tasked him with being a general over the first battles that they fought after they left Egypt. But Joshua had been a slave in Egypt. He had been just like all the other people his age, and God was preparing them and him in slavery. And God brought him out, of course, along with his people, and God began to use him, prepare him. And then we see him as Moses' assistant all throughout the time of giving the law. He's up there in Mount Sinai. He's right there with Moses, watching all of the various different crises that Moses goes through. And there's Joshua watching that. And we see that he was being prepared all that time. And we see that sometimes that's how God raises up a leader, is to prepare him alongside of somebody else. That's not always how God works, but sometimes it is, and that's how he worked in this particular case with Joshua. And now, as we start off the book of Joshua, we saw last week that Joshua is now in his 80s. If we do the Bible math, we can figure out that roughly he is between 80 and 90, perhaps 85 to 90 years old, as he starts out coming into this position of leadership, and he's going to live until he's 110 years old. The book of Joshua takes roughly that amount of time. But here in these first verses, we see the call of Joshua. God had called Moses at the beginning of Exodus. Moses, remember, had a lot of objections. Lord, I can't do it. I can't talk. And God had to work with Moses and bring him through those things. And now we see it's Joshua's turn. And there is a call that God had on Joshua, but here is a direct word of God to Joshua as he begins this new task of leading the people into the promised land. We're going to look at verses 1 through 9 tonight. Follow along as I read, beginning in Joshua 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Here we see the call of Joshua and see two different calls or two aspects of this call, perhaps. The first, in verses 1 through 5, we see a call to action. God is pointing Joshua to his task, to the responsibility that he had, to the things he was to do, the major mission he had. God was reminding him about that, calling him to it right here. And in the first two verses, we see the time for that particular action being pointed out. Two different ways here. After the death of Moses, that's when this happened. Then, it was then that the Lord spake unto Joshua. In verse 2, what's the first thing he said? Moses, my servant, is dead. This was a significant time. Moses, the great leader of Israel for the last 40 years, was now dead. He had gone to heaven, gone to be with the Lord. He was not allowed to go into the promised land. And this was the time of Moses' death, which we just read about. We'll come to that in Deuteronomy in our Sunday school time, but the last chapter is Moses' obituary. Somebody else probably wrote that in under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But Moses was dead. And the Lord reminds Joshua of this. First thing he says, Moses is dead. I want you to notice what the Lord did not say. He did not say to Joshua, that's all there is, Joshua. Moses has died. You might as well turn around and go back into the wilderness. Lead the people back to Egypt. Moses is dead. What are we going to do now? No, that's not what he says. He says, Moses is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. It was the time of Moses' death that was the motivation for Joshua to get going. The Lord comes to him and says, stand up and go over the Jordan, Joshua. You lead this people over the Jordan. Yes, Moses was dead, but God still had a plan for Israel. And we need to remember that even today. We face the death of people near and dear to us, people that have led us in the past, perhaps members of our family, pastors, teachers, and there comes a point when those men and women will die. They'll be taken home to be with the Lord. And it's easy for us to think, what will we do now? What can I do now? This one that I have followed and respected is now gone. They're dead. We see that's the situation that Joshua was in. But we see here a reminder that when God's servants die, God's purpose does not die. God's plan does not die. And God still had a plan for Israel, even though the man that he had used to lead them all throughout the past 40 years was now dead. That plan had not died. Joshua was now the one to take the people forward, and he wants us to do the same in what he's called us to do. When we see the removal of God's servants, it needs to motivate us to stand up and to take their place. No, we can't be the same as those other people, the exact same personalities and things like that, but you know, there needs to be a motivation that we see for us to be carrying forward the plan of God, the purpose of God that they had been involved in. It wasn't time to turn around. It wasn't time to stop and to give up. This was the time for action. And God details the action here, the responsibility for this action in verse 2, as I've already read. Therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Then he goes on in verses 3 and 4 and details the boundaries of that land, boundaries that we see. It doesn't seem that Israel really ever fully occupied those boundaries that are described here at any point. And, you know, it's something that they still have to look forward to. The land of Israel, God's people occupying the full boundaries of the promised land. Perhaps they won't ever occupy that until the millennial reign of Christ, when God sets up his kingdom. But this was God's intention for them. He said he's going to give it to them. The promises he made, he promised the borders of the land. Joshua had gone up and down in the land. He'd been a spy, as we looked at last week. That was 40 years previous. God promised to give Joshua the victory over the enemies in the land. He says in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. Promising victory over the enemies. They had militaries there in Canaan. They were giants. The spies had found out. Yet God was assuring them here of victory and that God would be with them. As we see the call to action here, we see a theme that comes up over and over again in Joshua, and that is that God has given the promises in the Bible, in the first five books of the Old Testament, and yet they come into the promised land. They still had a responsibility to go in and take the land. They had to trust God, yes, these promises that he'd given to them, but it was their task, it was their responsibility to go in and go walking up and down in that land. Every place that the sole of your foot treads on, that's going to be what I give to you. They had to go in and do that. You know, there's an aspect in which that is true for us as Christians. That isn't the way that we obtain our salvation. That's only through faith alone in Christ alone, by the grace of God. But it is the way that we grow as Christians. It is the way that we become sanctified. It is by believing the promises that God has given to us and by us obeying. We have to take responsibility. We have to take action. We have to be involved. That's how we grow in our Christian lives. And we see a parallel here all throughout this book where God is giving his promises, but God expects his people to obey. God expects them to take these steps, to go forward. And as they do that, He blesses them. He gives them the victory. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is challenging the Philippians. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved," Philippians 2:12, "as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Paul was challenging Christians there to get to work, to work out their salvation, not in the sense of working for their salvation, but showing their salvation was at work in their lives. And they could do that because God was at work in them. And we can do that because God is at work in us. And that's what Joshua and his people had to realize as well. God had promised them these things, the land. But they had to get to work. They had to take action here. So we see Joshua's call to action in verses 1 through 5. And then verses 6 through 9, we see another kind of call, and that is a call to courage. We see this command to be strong and of a good courage. It's repeated three times in verses 6 through 9. Verse 6, "Be strong and of a good courage." Verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." And then also in verse 9, "Be strong and of a good courage." This was something that Joshua particularly needed at this point. Perhaps he was intimidated by his task at this particular time, by the greatness of Moses, and how could he ever attempt to fill the shoes or the sandals of Moses? And God comes to him and says, "Be strong and very courageous." God does not summon him to blind courage. We see three different promises that support this call to courage. Verse 6, we see a call to courage for the task because of God's promise of the land. Look at verse 6. "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." God had already promised the land to Israel. He had done that years and years ago to Abraham. Genesis 13, "The Lord said unto Abraham, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." And God's reminding Joshua, look, I've already promised this to the forefathers of Israel. He had promised it to the nation of Israel various times as he led them through the exodus from Egypt. And God expected Joshua here and the people to take hold of that promise and to have courage that they would be able to possess that land. Joshua was one who believed that. We looked last week at the response that Joshua and Caleb had as they went up and down through the land and came back with the other 10 spies. They were the only two that seemed to actually believe, you know, God has promised this to us and God's going to give it to us. And the other 10 were bringing back that evil report. We don't think it's possible. It's too hard. We can't do this. But Joshua had said, along with Caleb, "If the Lord delight in us, He will bring us into this land," Numbers 14. We read that last week. But that was 40 years ago. And now it seems God is coming to Joshua again and reminding him about this. "Joshua, be strong and courageous. Have courage. I promised you the land. I promised the fathers. I swear this unto them," he says. You can have courage because of this promise of the land. And then he summons him to courage for obedience because of God's word here in verses 7 through 8. Look at what he repeats here. Verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. to turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. God's reminding Joshua that success here would depend upon a right relationship to his word. God made that clear to the nation. And he explains what that right relationship to the word is. It begins with taking God's word personally. Joshua was going to be the leader of this nation. And it starts with his own response to the word. Verse 7 again. Only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe. He's speaking personally to Joshua here. He's showing him, Joshua, this is what you must do to God's word. It starts with his own personal relationship to God's word. Not necessarily an easy task. You notice that God seems to indicate that this is going to take even more courage. Only be thou strong and very courageous. As you think about the word and everything that God has commanded you, this is going to take courage. Even more than perhaps going out and facing those Canaanites. But it began with Joshua personally. And then in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. There was a need to talk about God's word. Joshua needed to speak God's word, have it on his lips. He needed to be familiar with those key verses in the law that he would need to have ready. And then he goes on in verse 8, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. The word meditate here is a word that means to mutter, or even sometimes to growl. And it's something that a person does when they are constantly thinking about something. Maybe you've done that and you don't even realize that you're making some sounds. You're thinking about something and going over it in your head and it comes out your mouth. The people are saying, what are you saying? I wasn't saying that to you. I was just speaking that. That is this idea of meditating. Thinking about it, reflecting on it. Reflection on God's word is what is being encouraged here for Joshua. How do you do that? Well, you do that by trying to answer questions about it. You think about God's word and you ask yourself, how does this impact my life? How does this change my attitude? How should this change my attitude? How should this change my actions, what I do, decisions I make? You ask yourself, what do I need to change about my life? You ask yourself, why did God say it that way? Why didn't God say it another way? Is there something I need to notice about that? What do I need to do in light of this? This is reflecting on God's word. This is meditating on God's word. And it's something that takes time. You think about Joshua and his position, and he's coming into a leadership position over, 2 million people. That's a pretty big task. Do you think Joshua had some demands upon his time? I think Joshua had some meetings he had to attend. Some people that he needed to talk to, details he needed to take care of. It was probably endless. But God challenged him here at the beginning, Joshua, you need to meditate on my law, my word. And in order to do that, in order for us to do that, is something that takes some time. It requires us to have a little bit of priorities, to take that time to actually have a thought, maybe even just a few moments, a few minutes, to reflect on what we have read in God's Word, to write it down, to get it into our hearts and minds in some way. God wanted this to be a priority for Joshua. And then, the last thing here in verse 8, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. He wanted Joshua to do God's word. This was the goal. It wasn't the goal for Joshua to find some sort of interesting fact for the day, to find a question to ask one of the priests and try to stump them. This will really stump those priests. And that wasn't the goal that he was trying to have here. The goal was for Joshua to do everything it said. He would be so familiar with it that it would become a part of his life. He would live it out. And that was something that required courage. It was a call to courage for obedience. And then lastly here, we see a call to courage in Joshua personally, I think. Verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Here Joshua is told specifically not to be afraid or dismayed. Why did God say that to him? Perhaps because that's how Joshua was feeling. You know, perhaps Joshua at this point was about to write his letter of resignation. As he looked at this task ahead of him, and he's 85 years old. Joshua thinking, you know, I don't need this right now. I think I'd rather do something else. I can't do this. But God comes to him and says very directly, "Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed." Don't be discouraged. Perhaps he wasn't up for this. Perhaps he was like us and had his low points. Joshua had been courageous in the past. Joshua was one who trusted the Lord. He said, "We can do this, guys. We can go into the land along with Caleb." But again, that was 40 years ago. That was a long time ago. He's at a different point in his life. And now it's God who comes to Joshua and encourages him. He says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged here." And he tells him why. The answer is that God is with him. "For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." What was not God's encouragement? You know, God didn't come to him and say, "Joshua, you can do this. Joshua, believe in yourself. Joshua, you have the skills. Joshua, you have the talents. Joshua, you're just as good as Moses was. Perhaps even better, Joshua." God didn't say that to him. "Joshua, what you need to know is God is with you. That's why you shouldn't be afraid. God is with you." God had prepared him. But why was it that he could have courage? It was because God was going to be with him. You know, for us today, we are called to a different task. Probably none of us are going to be going out taking the promised land tomorrow morning. But we are called to obey God. And that can be difficult at times. And yet we can share the promises that God has given here to Joshua, especially this last one. We find the author of Hebrews speaks to Christians directly. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, and he says this, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. God is with us, just as he was with Joshua. God has given us the presence of his Holy Spirit that will never leave us or forsake us. And because of that, we can have strength, we can have courage, not because of anything in ourselves, but because of what God has promised to us in his presence. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, help us to be strong in you and in the power of your might. Help us to have courage to obey, even when it's very difficult. Help us, Lord, to be confident in what you can do through us, not only in ourselves. Thank you for these reminders from your word here tonight. We pray that you would help us to do what you have called us to do even this week. Help us to obey, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.